Verizon is making world headlines as it takes on nearly $50 billion in new debt in a massive bond sale to purchase Verizon Wireless from Vodafone for $130 billion. Consumer watchdogs fear customers will be forced to pay for that debt. Copper phone lines are very expensive to repair, and the internet is still largely unregulated. Using devastation caused by Superstorm Sandy to support its case, Verizon made a move to discontinue standard landline service on Western Fire Island at the southernmost portion of New York State. The company's VoiceLink service would have been the only choice for customers. Critics cited numerous drawbacks to VoiceLink, pointing out the service does not support internet or fax communications and requires battery power to operate consistently. The New York Attorney General's office intervened to stop the carrier from limiting its offerings. Attorney General Eric Schneiderman.
It's a victory for New Yorkers who were hit hard by Hurricane Sandy. My office is going to continue to oppose Verizon's efforts to substitute inferior wireless service for landlines anywhere in the state of New York.
Opponents contend that by setting precedent on Fire Island, Verizon can quickly apply the methodology to any other disaster area in the country in order to shut down landline-based services while abandoning portions of the copper line infrastructure. Verizon has agreed to give subscribers on Fire Island a choice between VoiceLink and VoiceOver Fiber at the same price as what they paid prior to Hurricane Sandy. Protests were scheduled for Thursday afternoon outside Verizon's internal offices at 20 South Hamilton Street in Poughkeepsie, pushing for the New York State Public Service Commission to stop Verizon trying to spread VoiceLink across New York. State Senators Bill Larkin, George Mazars, and Terry Gibson have proposed legislation supported by Communications Workers of America, the Working Families Party, and the AARP, calling for a moratorium on Verizon's installing VoiceLink throughout New York State and replacing landlines with wireless. Assemblyman Kevin Cahill's companion legislation has already passed in the Assembly. In another matter, the communications firm is making its case to loosen government regulations and allow some deep-pocketed content providers to use faster speeds, creating fast lanes and slow lanes on the internet. Critics argue this attack on net neutrality will result in both economic and racial discrimination. Broadband providers would be able to start charging companies like Facebook, Google, and Netflix to reach customers. On Monday at the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, lawyers for Verizon and the Federal Communications Commission faced questions from three judges who will decide whether the FCC's open internet order stands. Jennifer Yeh of the Massachusetts-based advocacy group Free Press was in the courtroom. She warns the three-judge panel could overturn what's known as the open internet order.
There will be no government oversight of our communications network, and corporations will retain control over what content we see, how much we pay for that content. In other words, our internet will start to look a lot more like our cable system.
Amalia Deloney is grassroots policy director at the Center for Media Justice in California. If the court decides to relieve the FCC of some of its ability to oversee the internet, she says that could result in certain groups and social classes being blocked from the web.
We need to be able to have groups like Iraq Veterans Against the War be able to express their anti-war views within the current debate between President and Congress and Syria.
Critics fear that consumers would also have to bear any additional costs involved in Verizon splitting services. Again, Jennifer Yeh.
During the court argument, Verizon was very clear that the intent of the filing was to ensure that they would be able to seek out different business models to gain more profit from internet access. For example, they would like to charge content providers to be able to get that access online, and they would like to be able to price discriminate to make sure that content owners who wanted to get their content to users quicker would have to pay higher rates. This is all going down to Verizon's bottom line and their hope to increase their profits.
The case is on track to be decided sometime around the holidays. Listen to the oral arguments in Verizon versus the FCC at WAMC.org. Dave Lucas, WAMC News.